think I see Sister Judy back there. God bless you. Good to see you. I can see a little bit. So glad to see you with us. Just enjoy and pray that everybody will receive something today that will bless your heart. How many of you love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Amen. He is our reason for living. You know, I think about him all the time. You know, wake up in the middle of the night, I think about him. When I get up in the morning, I think about him. You know, I'm selling a car, I think about him. You know, it's when I'm not selling a car, I think about him. Can you say amen for yourselves?
Amen.
What? Well, battery's dead.
But we think about him.
Amen. Yeah, it's dead.
You know, we won't have this problem one of these days.
A problem with the multimedia and then. I count it a privilege to be among you today. We've had a good week. It was a hot week, but it was a good week. And we thank the Lord. I'm going to wait for Brother Tim to change this before we get started here. It should be a little easier, I think.
Yep. Praise the Lord.
Can you hear me now?
Praise the Lord. So like one of them cell phone tower places. Can you hear me now? I want to talk to you a little thought this morning. I just pray that I can get the thought across to you the way it come to me. That's the hardest part about it. I want to speak to you on respect to the word. Respect to the word. And let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 4 through 14. And just praise the Lord. Just a couple of minutes to get turn your Bibles. I like to see people turning their Bibles. It's a good thing. We have the multimedia, and I was talking to somebody yesterday while I was at work, and I said, I'd love to talk about something I wanted to study. And she said, well, you can do it on your phone. I said, you can. I said, well, there's distractions on the phone. You start studying on your phone or your tablet, you get emails, you get texts, you get all kinds of stuff. But 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 4 through 14. And the word of the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli. He said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. He answered, I called not. My son, lie down again. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel that will both the ears of every one that heareth, it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I spoken concerning his house when I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And let's go over to 1 Samuel 4, verses 5 through 11. And starting at verse 5, it says, and when the ark of the covenant of the Lord come into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there had not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hands of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O you Philistines, that you be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight.
And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for all fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. I know this is an interesting scripture that we've read here, Lord, but Lord, you're the one that kept putting it on my heart. I just ask you to help me to follow your leadership through this service, to fill your people, Lord, to fill your spirit, Lord, not to say anything out of tone, but Lord, at the same time, not to keep my mouth shut when I should speak. Help me, Lord, to be used by you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. This is a scripture that's very oftenly quoted by many people around youth camp time, because they'll use this scripture of saying God is in the camp. They heard the shout in the camp. But if you look at the scriptures down the line, there was a great shout in the camp, but they lost the battle. And you know, just having the shout, just having the emotions does not guarantee the victory. Just having the word and saying, I've got the word, bless God, I've got it, and getting enthusiastic about it does not guarantee you victory. This was a people of leadership that had their children that would openly rebel against the Lord, and he restrained them not. And because he did that, he said, because you will not restrain them, Eli, you know the truth. You know what is acceptable with the word of God. And you're not applying it to your children. You're not applying it to your home. And because you're not doing this, the people that are under you are going to lose this battle. Right. Brother and sister, may the parents take diligence to this, that we will say, Lord, help me to obey this word in the right way, so whenever my children need victory, they can get victory. You say amen. Because, you know, just having the word, just having the emotion does not guarantee you victory. And I want victory. Many people are familiar with the notion that the word will defeat the enemy. However, the word was spoken to Eli and his sons. He said, you're going to perish because of your respect to this word. And the Lord cannot reward disobedience. From the youngest child to the oldest, that's something that needs to be ingrained in our heart. The Lord cannot reward disobedience. You know, you can't live any way you want to and then say, okay, I need the power of God to move upon it, because he won't do it. Because if he does that, he's putting his signature of approval on the life that you're living. You say amen. That's why in the beginning he put the cherubim on the east side of the Garden of Eden, because to keep them out of the Garden of Eden, because God was not going to allow Adam and Eve to come back into fellowship with him in a sinful state. God will not allow him to do that then, and God will not allow us to do that now. How many of you really want to get close to the Lord? Amen. Or God can speak to you on a daily basis where the word is being opened up to you and you're seeing things. But God's not going to do that if you're continually looking to the things of the world. If you're continually being distracted by the other things. Because we are supposed to be a chaste virgin before the Lord. Is that right?
Amen.
We live in an age where people defy authority. And whether it be parents, teachers, police officers, the people have fallen into a state of mind where they absolutely reject and they defy authority. To the point where if you get on YouTube, that's all it is, videos where somebody will go before a police officer, there it is, and I can just imagine how annoying it must be. I'm standing in a public building, and a camera right in his face, and trying to get the police officer to say something out of turn. Then they'll say, I want your badge number. It is a spirit that's on the people. They defy it. They defy authority.
Right.
And you go to schools. The kids will say things purposely to provoke the teacher. They'll sit there and continually do things. And the teacher's patience will try so hard to be patient. 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 Until finally they do something. And then they'll say that they abused this child. And then they'll put the perfect picture of little Johnny in a little, button-up t-shirt where he's like a perfect little child. In reality, he's walking around with saggy pants. You know, he acts like he's a gang member of some kind. He thinks he's something. But it's the world that we live in. But it is a spirit. And it's on people against police officers. It's against the teachers. It's against every kind of authority. And it's the same thing with the authority of the pulpit, brother and sister. The spirit will come upon a people where they will defy the authority of the pulpit. Because you got to realize a pulpit is
to be a minister. And if any man that's called to that office, he don't want to do it. He will run from it. Is that true? But this man will be born with a gift on the inside of him, and he'll yield to that spirit, yield to the gift, and after he gives his heart to the Lord, of course, and has a personal experience with God. And when that man is speaking under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and he's according to the word, and he's speaking that word, it's the same as God speaking to you.
Amen.
That's the truth. When a man is perfectly positioned in the office behind the pulpit and he is anointed by God and he has a God-called calling in his heart and he's a genuine calling, but that's the thing about this world. If we were to be able to put special glasses on and see how many men are standing in pulpits today that are genuinely called, I think it would absolutely shock the people to see how many men stand behind a pulpit and they're never called to preach in the first place. And that's why we've got the mess that we've got going on out there. It's because the genuine call on the inside of a man that's got the gift to minister the gospel, it's the same as God speaking to those hearts, and it will bring people to a genuine new birth. But you know what we see today? We see people that are not born again. And their life manifests that they're not born again. You know what? A wheat plant, somebody can say, I'm a wheat plant, but I don't think I have to dress this way. I don't think I have to walk this way. I don't think I have to do this way. You know what's wrong? You need to get in the presence of a light. Because when you stay in the presence of a light, that seed put in the right environment, it will bring forth the same thing.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Brennan was in Africa. This is what caught my attention when I first heard it when Prophet visits South Africa. Whenever the Spirit of the Lord come upon those natives that were naked, he didn't even have to preach, cover yourself up. They were in the presence of the Lord and they automatically started covering themselves up.
Right.
Why? Because he's a holy God.
Right.
And when you've got a Holy Spirit, he demands, he calls for holiness. You can't walk any other way. If you come the right way, you put a tomato seed in the ground, you put it in the right environment, it's going to bear tomatoes.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is with this word. The spoken word is the original seed. When we'll take this message of the hour and we'll put it in the right environment in our heart, in our homes, in our cars, on our radios,
yeah,
it will bring forth the original word. But there's so many people that are not born again. And their life manifested. Jesus said, a tree is known by its fruit. I can say all I want to. I'm a lemon tree. If I'm bearing pecans, brother and sister, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Say amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Brennan said, you know, sin inside the church can knock somebody out of their healing. A bad attitude in the church can knock somebody out of their healing.
Right.
It's not just us that we are affecting. When we don't walk with this word, we are affecting your brother and your sister.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being the reason that your brother or your sister can't get healing?
Right.
He can't get the deliverance that they need because of your own disobedience.
Yeah.
There must be a respect for this word. I believe God dealt with Eli. Eli, you know your sons aren't walking right. Eli, you know they're not walking upright. I believe he tried dealing with the sons. You know you're not walking upright. You know you need to line up with the word. You know you should do that in time after time. I don't have to do that. You know what I think one of the most deceptive things for them was? Whenever they come to church, they felt the Spirit of God. They were walking in total disobedience to the word of God. But when they come in the presence, the Spirit of God dropped down. They said, I feel the presence of God.
Yeah.
I believe they had tears come out of their face. I believe they were emotional. I believe they shouted. They were probably the leader with a tambourine. And then look at the life that they were living. Brother and sister, it is our life that we are living. I don't say this to put myself. When I wake up in the morning, my mind is on the Lord. You say amen. When you go to do your lunch, when you're throughout your day, why? There's a life on the inside. It's not me. It's him.
Yeah.
It's a genuine new birth.
Yeah.
Amen. Imagine God dealing with him time after time after time after time. It just paralyzed.
criticizes me, but I look at the scripture, he says, come to the point, no sacrifice is ever going to work. I've told you, I've showed you the way, no sacrifice is going to work for you anymore. And then the children of Israel that were diligent, perhaps they were up the way up in the middle of the hours of the night, praying, Lord God, help my house to be ready. Help me, Lord, to have my sword sharp. Help me to have my shield ready to go. Help me to have everything about me. Help me to be alert because my men are depending on me. My brothers beside me are depending on me to do my job. Imagine them doing their due diligence, but the whole time they're doing their due diligence, they're backslid and they're slacking off and they're not doing the things they need to do. And because they did it, it costs people their lives. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just take one scripture. You look at in Joshua. The water. You look at Joshua, and then whenever he told them what you do, are you going to overcome these battles? And Achan took the Babylonian garments and put them in his tent. He knew he was doing wrong. And listen to me. When a person is doing wrong, they know they're doing wrong. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know it. It's like the boy whistling in the graveyard, whistling. I ain't scared, I ain't done. But you watch whenever death comes knocking at your door, immediately you'll find out, hey, you know what? This does matter. I don't want to find ourselves in that situation to where we keep defying the God. That is a spirit that will come upon a person and cause them to defy, 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 defy. Thank you, Lord. Anybody wondering? Their disobedience caused it to a point to where other people were losing their battles. And this is the way we need to focus at it. The way I conduct myself affects you. And the way you conduct yourself affects me. Because we are a body.
That's right.
You know, I can mash my finger. It's a long way from my heart. But I'm telling you what, it hurts. Mm-hmm. It hurts the whole body. And it matters what we do with our time. It matters with what we do with our conduct. I want you to succeed. I really do. I want you to succeed. You know, mm-hmm. In race car driving, my wife and I were talking about the other day. Someone cut us out in front of the cuts off. And sit in my truck. I got right behind them to get around. And my RPMs dropped down. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Drafting. And he actually just pulled us right up that hill and got around. And I said, don't do that. I said, Lord, forgive me. I should have shown him how to do that. But drafting in race car is whenever someone is going and you get right behind them and your RPMs will actually drop off. And you can pretty well ride behind them. And did you know that car in front of you can actually drive faster? Because you are actually right behind them because of the draft. The way the draft is working. But you know what? That's the way it is with it. When you got a leader or you got a move of God that's moving among you, you should be tugged right inside that and your RPMs are dropped off and you can literally rest. And you can go right behind that and you will go twice as fast. It's not playing on twice as fast, but you'll go a lot faster than what you would have done if you were putting all the work into it. Yeah. Drafting. You know, that's what we need to do. We need to get behind the move of God. Get behind the Word of God. And when you get behind that, you find out a lot of your stress will go away. Yeah. Because you're drafting behind the move of God. Is that true?
Yeah.
Go back and study and see if I'm telling you the truth. I want the move of God. But I'll tell you what, if you want the victory and the rest, you move, this is how you do it. You've got to get behind it because there's a spirit that's trying to come on, not just here, it's all over, brother and sister, of trying to get people to defy the pulpit. Because you keep defying it long enough. Brother Brown said there was a man, he went to go visit him at a tire shop. Tried to talk to him about the Lord. He said, you know what, this man, without a doubt, God was dealing with him. Get things right, get things right, get things right, get things right. He kept defying it, kept defying it, kept defying it. To the point he got so bitter on the inside. Brother Brenham talked to him. He tried to talk to him about the Lord. Man said, I don't even want to talk about it.
Right.
Brother Brenham left. He went and talked to his wife. He said, surely he didn't mean that. Surely. He said, I've got to go back and talk to him again. Brother Brenham went to go talk to him again about the Lord. And the man said, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to hear about it. I'm done. The Lord took that man off the scene shortly after. Because God is not going to allow his name to be
rubbed in the dirt. You say amen.
Amen.
It's serious. It's a serious thing. We're talking about to defy the word of God. This did not happen over just one day. It was little defiance, little defiance, little defiance, little defiance, until the man turned plumb bitter and he has no confidence in the pulpit. Why would Satan do that? If he can get your confidence away from the pulpit, Satan can whip you every day of the week. Because like I said, it's not the man, it's God putting a gift in a man, anointed, and he is your God-called pastor. And where he is to lead you, he's to help you. A lot of times we don't want that. We don't want correction. You ever notice there's nobody that can whip you like your mama? Yeah, amen. Elijah says, amen. Or your daddy, especially your mama. Well, 4'9", and she knows how to use that wooden paddle like an art. You know, they talked about how the people that would torment, they had an art to it. Well, she had it. She had it down. It was a revelation to her. You know, she knows how to make it sting. She knows how to make it hurt. But there ain't nobody that can take the hurt away like mama. You could be going through the hardest time of your life, or you're just so nervous and so shaky and all this, and I don't care how big of a boy you get. So many men that were in Vietnam shot to pieces, about to die, and you know what they were crying? Mama. I want mama. Because mama knows how to make things okay. And God is just like that, brother and sister. God knows how to make it hurt when he's got to. But there ain't nobody that can bring comfort to you when you need it. Like God. God knows how to come down in the time and give you a hug like an old grand, like a grandma hug. It's so strong that can melt away all your worries. But you know what? You can't do that if you're trying to be rebellious all the time. But it's whenever you say, I want to be right. I want to be right with this word. I want to be right with my church. I want to be right with my pastor. You say amen.
Amen.
The devil will try so hard to make schisms in the body.
Amen.
He'll make schisms in the family. Schisms in the church. And a lot of times it's little bitty piddly stuff that means absolutely nothing.
Right.
And he'll cause train wreck in that family all week long, where all you've got is bickering and fighting all the time. And the Holy Spirit cannot be there. And the whole time, the Holy Spirit is, I just want to be in your midst. I want to come and make things better.
Amen.
Mamas and daddies, how many times you'll come to a time where you'll see your child making a mistake and say, come on, I want so bad to step in and help. But you have to let them make the decisions.
Amen.
Because you reject and defy their leadership. There is a power and authority in a mommy and a daddy. There is power and authority in a husband and a wife. Or if you will respect them in the capacity that they're in and let them be what they are, there ain't nobody can be like them. You bet. You say amen.
Amen.
There ain't nobody can be like mama. Sometimes I wish the kids would run to daddy. They go through stress, and I'll see them coming up, like, oh, praise the Lord, they need daddy. Then they go right past me and go to mama. That's okay, because mama knows how to do it. She knows how to fix it. When I'm going through my greatest turmoil, if I'm going through a stress, you know who I want to give me a big, big hug? A little 4'9". Because that's my hero. That is my tower of refuge that God has put on this earth that can help me. But you know what? If I have an attitude toward her all the time where it's a bicker and a fight, she can't do that. Even though she wants to do it, I'm restricting it. And it goes the other way around. If she was to bicker and defy me of who I am, when I have the ability to make things okay. But you can reject it and reject it and reject it. You say amen.
Amen.
The same thing with a pastor.
Amen.
When he tries to correct, and we defy, and we defy, and we defy, and the whole time the Lord is ready. Amen. I better get off. This is getting soft. I can tell. The Philistines took this Ark of the Covenant, and
and they really thought they were going to be blessed with the word. That just always that always blew my mind. When they took the Ark of the Covenant and put it next to Dagon, their god. Sometimes you look at people's decisions and you're like, I don't understand that. Did they really think that they could take the Ark of the Covenant and put there now because they have it, God's going to bless their kingdom? I don't understand it. Who knows what I'm talking about in the scriptures?
Right.
And God purposely caused Dagon to fall and break his face and do the things that he did. And it's the same thing when we see somebody that tries to hold the word, but their life doesn't look anything like it. Now, if you're trying to do it, that's different. But whenever you're openly, I don't have to do that. But what does the word say? Do you really think God's going to bless you? How many wants a blessing? I do. Some of you didn't raise your hand. I'll take your blessing. Say amen. I want the blessing of the Lord. I know this is ABC. God cannot bless you with the disobedience. But the whole time, God is right here. He's saying, I want to bless you. I want to do it. That's what Brother Brown said. He said, and this is the way some of our religions are getting. That's right. They don't know the Bible. They don't know God. The only thing they know is that it is some kind of a place to go to church. Somebody took them in as members. They brought the letter for some other church, and they took them in his church. They'll sit in a meeting for a few minutes until you say something they don't like. And they haven't even got good, decent raising. They'll get up and go out. That's not even American. My mother raised me with great gumption than that. If I went to a meeting, I'd be gentleman enough to sit still and listen, or I wouldn't even go in the first place. That's right. That don't even show good raising. No wonder we've got juvenile delinquency. We've got a lot of parent delinquency that caused it.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, what a reproach it is on the church and on Christ and on the cause. Yes, a mule, he's just an old ignorant hybrid, doesn't know nothing. All you know, he'll wait a lifetime to kick you when he's dying. That's right. Anybody knows anything about a mule. But, oh, I love a good pedigreed horse. Nothing prettier, he's pedigreed. He knows who his papa was, who his mama was, who his grandpa was, who his great-great-grandfather was. He's pedigreed. And I like to see a good pedigreed church, a Christian, who knows who their father is, who knows that God is their father, knows they are born of the Holy Ghost. They can trace it back through every generation all the way back. You say amen.
Amen.
I hate it so much. It breaks my heart so much because people don't like to be offended. And as long as you don't bump into them, they'll go. But if you start to address anything, they'll cross their arms, so to speak, spiritually speaking, and they'll walk away. And it's because their attitude is not right in the first place.
Right.
Because the Holy Spirit will take correction by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know if you got the Holy Ghost? Is the Spirit inside you agreeing with the Word, or is it defying the Word?
Yeah.
Amen. And I love how he talked about the pedigree. I used to have a thoroughbred horse. And I used to have the mule. And I tell you what, pedigree is a whole lot better. You say amen?
Mm-hmm.
You can actually teach the pedigree horse. And the thoroughbred, you can actually teach him what to do. And that mule will fight you every step of the way. And Brother Brenham used the analogy and said, I don't believe it. I'm trying to tell you how you should dress, how you should do divine healing. Tell you about all this thing. What are they saying? I don't believe it. A lot of people laughed in the congregation. He wasn't trying to be funny. It's what they were. When he was trying to give them the word. Could you imagine if those people had any reality of who this man was that was in the pulpit? It wasn't the man, Brother Branham. It was the gift on the inside of him that was given the word, and their attitude toward that.
That's right.
Spoke of who they are. It spoke of the seed.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm trying to turn the corner just a little bit. God has orchestrated it to where the male is the one that gives the seed and the female receives the seed and she bears fruit. And contrary to popular opinion, we know how life comes. and it's a perversion of what they brought. And if you take the DNA of a pedigree horse and you can trace it back all the way down to find the original pedigree horse, because it's the same seed. And the mule, it's a cross between a horse and a donkey, and it's a hybrid. And we know that he cannot reproduce himself. And that's what the church has become, is because they hybridized. And it's so easy to look at the denomination church and say they're hybridized because they're not reproducing. But we need to make sure we're not looking at ourselves and make sure there's some reproducing in ourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if it's the word, it will do what it said it will do.
Yeah.
Like Joshua said, we need to call an assembly. If we're not getting the results that we need, why? If we aren't getting the results that this word says that we should get, why? Yeah. And I believe we have a right to look to God and say, why? And I believe God has a right to look at his church and say, I have given you the way for healing. I have given you a message. I've given you a way to have peace in your home.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
I've given you a way that you can have the Holy Ghost. Amen. I have given you a way to receive a new birth. And if we are not taking that way, I believe God has a right to ask, why?
Yeah.
Why are we not? Why are you not doing it? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician? Let me ask you, did the Holy Ghost die when Brother Brennan died?
Mm-hmm.
We got the same Holy Ghost, and it means we come with the same approach, we can get the same things.
Mm-hmm.
Say
yeah.
That's right. We have a right to ask. We have a right to ask God. God, I am applying your word to my life. I am applying everything that I know of, God. I'm asking you why. And I believe God will give you an answer.
Amen.
You say amen.
Amen.
God will show you why. Why am I not getting my results? To the best of my knowledge, to the best of my ability, Lord, I'm applying this word to my life. Why am I not getting the results? And if you go with God that approach, God will come and talk to you. How many of you want to know revelation? I want to know this word.
Amen.
The scripture says very simply, if you knock, it shall be open unto you. And he says, it's just like a father, but the son asks him, Father, can I have some bread? That father's not going to be mean. He wants you to have bread. He wants you to have it. And that's the thing. God wants this church to be prosperous in his word. He wants this church to be prosperous in joy and have life abundantly. And if we're not having it, we have a right, but you know what the problem is? So many times, we don't get on our knees and seeking and say, God, why? Why am I not getting the results? You've got to get desperate before the Lord sometimes. Say, God, I want to know. I want to know your truth. I want to see these things. Get desperate for him. And God will come on an individual level. Amen. We're talking about the seeds, and this is the point I'm trying to get to. Judah had a son named Er. He was his firstborn. How many is familiar with the story? I guess that's how you spell it, E-R. I don't know how else you pronounce it. Was given Tamar to be his wife. And he was going to be the firstborn. And he was rebellious before the Lord. And he died. And Judah told him, he said, told his brother, you marry Tamar, and you raise seed for your brother. And his brother says, you know what, I'll do this. And he didn't. He did not put the seed inside her. If you look at the scripture, he says he put the seed on the ground. And it displeased the Lord. And the Lord took care of him. And Judah told Tamar, said, Tamar, I want you to go to your father's house. And I want you to just be a widow. And when my other son comes to age, you're going to marry him. He'll give me the seed. Because remember, it's pedigree. The same seed. So she goes to her father's house, and time comes where Judah's wife dies. And then Judah was going to go to the sheep shears with a couple of buddies. And on their way, Tamar realizes he didn't keep his promise to her. He didn't give her the son. To give her the seed.
This woman wanted the seed of the firstborn. She said, I want this seed. I want it. There was something inside her that had a respect for it. I want the seed. And she said, I want it so bad. I want the seed so bad. I'm going to change my apparel and put on the apparel of a harlot. And tomorrow, this is in Genesis 38, if you want to study it. This woman goes up here along the way for Judah to come through and has on the apparel of a harlot. And Judah makes a deal with this woman that he could come inside of her to bring a child. He wasn't in for a child. He was, you know what I'm saying? And she said, give me your staff and your bracelet that I know you'll come back. Think of it. This woman degraded herself in the appearance to the point she looked like a harlot. And Judah did. He went inside this woman and she conceived. And about 3 months later, they tried to send the kid back and to pay her with the kid, the goat, for her services, and couldn't find her. And then word got back to Judah, you know your daughter-in-law? She took on the role of a harlot, and she's pregnant. And Judah said, that woman did this, you take her, we're going to take her to the front, that she can be burned. And imagine his face when she pulled out the staff and the bracelet. Do these belong to you? And Judah looked at her and said, she is more righteous than I. This was a woman that wanted the seed so bad, she was willing to change her looks to the point people would probably make fun of her, laugh at her, point fingers at her. Degraded herself in the eyes of the people to the point that it's like, I don't want to be. Could you imagine looking like a harlot? Why did she do it? It was for a purpose, because she wanted the seed. Because I know where the seed is, there is life. She knew my husband is a firstborn, and the same seed all the way down. It was a pedigree. I'm so thankful that we have a way that we can get before God, but we don't dress like a harlot. God dresses as a pure bride.
Amen.
And people may laugh at you, sisters. Your long hair, your dresses. They may point fun at you. Brother Brent talked about the women that walk around, they'd make fun of them because they look like a spare tire on the back of their head walking around. I heard one time, I wish I could find the quote, Brother Brenham said, I'd like to find those people. I'd like to walk with you. I'd hear what he said. Talking about the sisters, godly sisters that are walking day by day, and people are laughing and pointing fun at you because you think you're holy. You really think you're something. You really think God looks at that the way you dress. Do you think God really cares about what you do with your hair? Brother Brandon talked about the manicure on your face. It's on the feet, man. Nope, got it wrong. Amen. Hands. Brother Brandon talked about that stuff. He said, you know, they put that stuff on your end. He said, you keep doing that, trying to be something else. But you know, there's one woman in the Bible that put paint on her face. And it's 2 Kings 9:30, if you want to look it up. And that was Jezebel. Jezebel put paint on her face to beat the man of God. And she fell through the window and got ate by dogs. You can look down scriptures and see that it matters. I know in ourselves, and you look at it like, why does it matter? It matters. God said, build the ark with this dimension. Did it matter? He said, when you do the altar, this measurement, this is the type of wood. Does it matter? What if you did it an inch too short? Would it work? It's got to be according to what he said, because it matters. And the prophet preached over and over about women bobbing their hair. It matters. I know it look in our flesh, you can say, but why does it matter? The word says don't do it.
Right.
That's why. And if it says don't do it, don't do it. It talks about men wearing garments that pertain to a woman. Women wear garments that pertain to a man. makeup on your face. Without a doubt, she'd say, I feel nothing. But what happened to her? You say amen.
Amen.
It matters how we dress. It matters. And I imagine the little things that Eli's sons, it didn't start out big things. It started out small things. And the word when they preach, stop doing those things. Because it don't matter. Those things don't matter. And you ever made a snowman? You don't start with a big ball. You start with a little bitty ball. And you start rolling that thing up and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And you get that thing so big you can't control it anymore. It's too big, and that's the way it is when we begin to defy the word when it's being preached to you. Stop doing these things. Do these things. Do these things. And when you defy it, that becomes a big ball that you can no longer control. Brother and sister, we don't want to get into a position to where the things that we are allowing to control our life is the only thing that controls our life. Because it will happen. Amen. It matters. Tamar was willing. The Lord woke me up out of my sleep 3 times this week about this scripture. How she was willing to do whatever it took to get the seed. And that's where we got to be. This mighty seed, I'm talking about the revelation. We got to be willing to do whatever we got to do. It don't matter how silly we look in front of the world. We got to put ourselves in a position to where we can receive the seed. Where we can receive the word. Tamar could have stayed right where she was at her father's house. She could have stayed right there and said, no, I'm going to wait for my revival to come to me. I'm going to sit right here. I'm going to wait. And she would have kept on waiting. But it came a point inside her, she rose up in herself and she said, I'm not waiting anymore. I want the seed. Mm-hmm. And she got up and she started making some changes to her apparel. I know it sounds completely crazy. Brother Daniel talking about it. I'm not telling you to dress like a harlot. But she dressed her way in such a way to where she became, because think of it, if she dressed righteous, he would have never come to her and put a seed in her. That's why she dressed like a harlot, so he would do that. And it's a spiritual type of how that we have got to receive the seed. And that's why he said, she's more righteous than I. She did it because of the right reason. Look at scripture. She said he never had a relationship with her again. Mm-hmm. And said it was for a purpose of receiving the seed. Say amen. I mentioned earlier, I said one of the greatest authorities we have is the pulpit. But there's one that's even better than that, or stronger than that, in my opinion. And that's your calling to be a son or daughter of God. And just as sure as a man that's preaching that's out of his calling, whenever you're not walking in what you're doing under a calling of a son of God and a daughter of God, you will not be happy. Right. The greatest happiness you can ever have, I know for me, whenever God was calling me to preach, I got to the point, I defied it. I'm not going to preach. I got to the point where I thought I was going to die. I said, okay, I'll preach. And then I quit a million times since then. Tell me what, I'm done. I quit, I'm done. I'm not preaching no more. She said, babe, you can't go. Yes, I am. I'm done. And the Lord came down like, what are you doing? I said, I'm preaching this Wednesday. In myself, in yourself, he's like, I can't do it. I quit. I can't do it no more. As a son of God, how many times in yourself, there's been times in your life, you say, I quit. I can't do it. And the Spirit of the Lord just picks you right back up, and he just keeps you moving on forward. Brother Brent went through the same thing. He said, the devil looked at me and said, you look at you. You preach the gospel. You do all of these great things. And he said, here your daughter is dying sick. And the Lord won't even do that. He said, I was about ready to quit. He said, in that spirit of grace, picked him back up. He said, blessed is he that give and he that take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many times in yourself, in your flesh, this guy will try to quit?
but there's something inside you that won't let you quit. And I'm so thankful because that shows you it's not you. It's him.
Amen.
It's him that's leading your life. And brother and sister, you're calling. I'm trying so hard to make this as plain and simple as I know how to make it. You have got a calling in your heart to be a son and daughter of God. And when you will walk in that calling, God will take you to greater levels.
Amen.
God will open your word. God will give you peace. God will lead you to the right wife or the right husband. God will lead you in your finances.
Amen.
When you're walking in the calling of a son and daughter of God. That's the most important calling there is in this life, is the calling of being a son or daughter of God.
Amen.
Like I said, there's many people that are preachers that they'll be in hell, unfortunately. But a son and daughter of God that's called, and you're walking in your calling as a son and daughter of God, brother, you can't be lost.
Amen.
Now, you try to quit, God will get you back up. God knows how to get you back. God's not looking at this great God ready to just bash you on top of your head because you quit or you made a mistake. You know that? God is saying, get up. I always go back to Dylan running his cross-country race. He was running. He was doing good, but he looked like he was getting really tired. Getting around the corner. And I remember he was going this way. And I saw him getting tired in his face. But I knew he's got more in him. I knew he's got more gas in the tank. People were passing him by. I wasn't standing there saying, you pathetic loser. I wasn't looking at him and says, why don't you run, you big dummy? You know, I wasn't criticizing. I wasn't ready to bash him on the head. I wasn't one that was ready to just drive him away. Well, get out of here. If you can't run, just get out of here. I wouldn't do that. He's my son. And he's running a race. And he's doing the best he knows how, but he's getting tired. And brother and sister, when you're running this race called life, sometimes you get tired.
Right.
It's like I'm trying one obstacle after another. This keeps happening. This keeps happening. This keeps breaking. So we wholesale all these cars. Now all I got this. You see, man, you got your own battles. And it's just like one sickness here, one sickness there, this going on, and you just get tired. And Dylan was running. I saw his head going down like that, and I said, go, Dylan, pick up your head, son, pick up your head, run. He stopped. He looked at him, huh? I said, no, run. Picked his head up and started running again. And he came home with a medal. Not because of daddy, because he won it on that race. But you know what? Sometimes our head starts going down because we're getting tired. And sometimes you've got to have a reminder, pick your head up.
Amen.
Get your head back up. Because God will give you what's called the second wind.
Amen.
When you're running, you'll be tired. And like I'm done. I have no more energy. But when you get that second wind, that comes inside you. Brother and sister, you're ready to do some running. You say amen.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are running a little bit, you know what I'm talking about. It's getting to that second wind sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's like chasing a beach ball. That second wind can come anytime, you know. But if you will keep pressing, keep your head up. That's my encouragement to you during this service. Have your respect to the word. And I know sometimes you just get tired and you're fighting these battles. You're doing all this thing. It's not because you want to be defied against the pulpit. It's just because you're tired. You're human. Don't allow the devil to use that against you.
Amen.
Use that as your strength. Amen. Whenever you're tired and you put your attitude toward God, say, God, I am tired, but I am here to worship you.
Amen.
And when you do that, God will come to you in greater levels than you ever could. When a person's broken, you can actually receive more of God than you're full. You take a woman that's full, that she is just broken. She says, I've got nothing left to give. And she just breaks before the Lord. That woman will leave full. But if we're trying to hold it together all the time, we're not allowing God to put us back together and fill us again. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say?
Amen.
If you're trying to hold it together by yourself, you're not giving God the opportunity to help. It's like my wife saying, my wife has a way to give me a mama hug. To where it can melt away those things. Well, if I keep trying to hold it all together myself,
And she tries to minister to me. She tries to talk to me. I don't allow her to do that. I am keeping her from her ministry. Same thing with the wife towards the husband. And it's the same thing with the church and the pastor. When the pastor is trying to minister to you about your need, you're like, you know what? I've got too much going on. I don't have time to deal with this right now. You're not allowing the ministry to do what it's called to do. Do you believe that your pastor is your God-called pastor?
Amen.
Get behind him.
Amen.
Say amen. Get behind him. Do you believe your husband, your God-called husband? He better be.
Amen.
You believe your wife is your God-called wife? Your dad, your God-called dad, he better be. I don't know any other way to get around it. Your dad has got a ministry about him, for he has a way to help you, counsel you, lead you, and guide you in a way that nobody else can, because he's a special office called dad. Mama's the same way. There's nobody can minister. That's just what I'm trying to narrow it down to. Every person in here, you've got a position in your life where you can be a ministry to somebody else like nobody else, because nobody else is you. You have an ability about you. There are things about you. Some of you like to lift weights. You like to run. You like to do things about it. And it's a mindset that you have that you can encourage somebody that me and Brother Tony are talking about do. Or Brother Tim. Sorry, brother. You're in the boat with us. But you know, if you're not running all the time, you're not lifting weights all the time, there's a mindset about you that you have a speciality. You are a specialist in the calling that you've got as being a son of God. You can minister to other people like nobody else because you are specially designed. But you can't do that if you're not walking with the Lord. You say amen. It's like having somebody out there drowning. Well, if you're drowning too, you can't save them. You're going to drown both of you. You've got to be walking on the dry land where you can help somebody. Brother, sister, that's what I'm trying to tell you. This church, with the respect to the word, each person inside here, under the sound of my voice, you have a ministry. Under a calling of a son and daughter of God. You sisters have got ability. I know that Sister Catherine's got a way to put the desserts to the point where you can feel it in your toes. She made those little balls the other day. I want to show you how awesome this perfect time, sister. I'm sorry, Brother Jim, I got to pull it out here. She then brought them little balls out there to us, and Brother Tim said, they're nasty. Brother Tony said, what is it? He said, yuck. Well, I put it in my mouth, and I'm like, yuck. It's good. I wanted to be one of the guys. You know, yuck, yuck. It's getting warmer. And thank the Lord, they left them, and I ate them. She has an ability. It's a ministry that she has that it won't be for everybody. That part of the, you know what I'm saying? She has a specialty in that, and it's for me. That was my blessing. Brother Tim's got gifts about it. Sister Mary's got gifts about it. Each person here, you've got gifts about you that you can help somebody. Now, if you get somebody else, they're like, ugh. But you know, there's something about you. You can be a help to somebody. Say amen. And you got to look at life that way. My life is a ministry. And I want to be a drink of water to every person I go to. If I go to the dollar store, I want to be a drink of water.
Mm-hmm.
I sold a car to the lady the other day. Monday or Tuesday. I was on the vehicle and she says, is your name Daniel Black? I hadn't even told her my name. I'm terrible by asking my name, so I can't remember. I'll ask in 3 seconds later, I don't remember it. She said, is your name Daniel Black? I said, yes, it is. I said, I apologize. I didn't introduce myself. I said, how'd you know? I didn't have my name tag on. She said, your dad is James Black. Is that right? I said, yes, he is. Matter of fact, she said, he was in the hospital and said that he was having a heart attack and doing the surgery. And she said, I was one of the nurses there. And she said, it just absolutely amazed me, the love that you had inside the room and about your dad. She said, it just always amazed me. And she said, I always wanted to tell you thank you. She said, because that's what I think a Christian's supposed to be. I said, well, sister, I sure do thank you for that. It was during a hard time in my life when I was seeing my dad struggling. And I'm here to tell you, my head wasn't filling up. But I was just trying to keep pressing forward. And I didn't even realize it. And I was being ministered to somebody.
brothers and sisters, let me just leave it with that. Your life is a ministry.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. Ask our musicians to come forth. I did sell her a car too, by the way. Very happy customer. But let me just encourage every person today just to search within yourselves and be the best you that you can possibly be. Mm-hmm. Sister Rachel, there ain't nobody that can be you. There's nobody that can be you. And if you're being anybody else, it won't work. Be yourself. Say amen. My wife, be yourself. Amen. That's all there is. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. We just want to tell you that we love you. I love these people, Lord. You give me a privilege to walk with them, Lord. Lord, I believe you put this little assembly together, Lord. Lord, it's been a battle, Lord. Sickness is going on. There's battles going on, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you would walk the aisle this morning. That you would knock on hearts, Lord. Lord, from the pulpit to the back door, Lord. Help us to do a self-examination this morning, Lord. And Lord, am I really giving my all? Am I really giving my best, Lord? Lord, because there's so many times, Lord, in ourselves we feel like we fall so short, Lord. We don't give you all the praise you're due, Lord, to the life that we live, Lord. Lord, the children of Israel, they come through a point where they were just grumbling and complainers all the time, Lord. Lord, don't let that happen here. Lord, I ask you to help us. Give us a thankful heart, Lord. Help us within ourselves to appreciate the things that we have. Not the things not with money, but our loved ones. Our husband, our wife, our brothers, our sisters, our pastor, our song leader, Lord. The musicians that we have, Lord. There's things that you give us that don't take money. There's gifts from you, Lord. But most of all, it's your word, Lord. Help us to receive it, Lord. Help us to appreciate it. Help us to respect it. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I ask Brother Tony to come forward and be able to say this. If anybody has need of prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you.
Fall on deep fertile ground, Lord, where she can walk in this word.
she can become this work, Lord. Lord God, refill her with your spirit today. I ask you, Lord, bless her ministry of music, Lord, that it will never go towards the world, Lord, that it will never get common, Lord, but every stroke of the key, every vocal chord she'll ever sing, may it be anointed by your Holy Ghost, God. That you can change lives, Lord. You can set the captive free, God, through the ministry of her music, Lord. Oh, God, I give her to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come, Lord. Refill her with your spirit, Jesus.
Their life can be easier because of you. And that's what them cars do. You know that car has got pressure in the front and it's got a vacuum in the back, and that engine has to overcome all of that, both pressure and vacuum. And so another car has to do the same. But if this car gets up behind it, you can get behind the one in front, and now you got a pressure in the front and a vacuum in the very back, and only in two cars. And so both of them, you can have an easier ride because you're traveling as one unit. That's what God wants us to do, to travel as one unit, because we make it easier for each other. You know, Brother Daniel's talking, he didn't mention the name, but the fellow that Brother Branham was talking about, he went to him and he didn't want to serve the Lord anymore, so he called him Brother Ramsey. And he wouldn't listen. And Brother Branham said, God took his servant home. That was very foreign to us. God said, because, you know, and the way we were brought up was believable. If this guy just wouldn't obey, he just left, the Lord wouldn't, you know, then he's lost. But a prophet said, God took his servant home. Because if Brother Ramsey was a child of God, he's always been a child of God and always will be a child of God, and God would not let him mar the image of Christianity. And so, now, let me caution you. A prophet can look at someone and say, they're God's servant. God took them home. So don't come up with the idea that just anybody can just walk away from the Lord and we can say, oh, they're God's child. God, you know, because we don't know. But a prophet could do that. But the concept is there that God will not let you mar the image of Christianity if you're his child. He will correct you. And so we want to always remember those things. Mama, I'm just going down a list of things Brother Daniel had said. Mama can make things better. So can your church. You can find comfort in these believers that you can't find anywhere else. If this church is in unity with Papa, with God, you can. And so we're a body. Learn that. Learn that you can draw strength from your body. Learn you are not to criticize your body, but you can draw, and you can. We can travel through this rapture as one unit. Amen. It's very good things we heard this morning. You know, people today don't want to be corrected. They just want everything, as long as everything's going. I think the way Brother Daniel said it, as long as you don't, you don't criticize or anything like that. And I was just thinking when he said that, you know, that we live in an age where everybody wants to live by their feelings. It's a Pentecostal age. And we're all familiar with what Brother Branham said about the Pentecostal kitten. He was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he saw the vision of a cat sitting there. And he petted it. It would just purr. As long as he'd break his hand across the fur just like that, it would purr. And it said there was a sign under it that said Pentecostal kitten. You know, Tulsa's Pentecostal capital of the world. And there it was, and it just purred like that, but when he raked it against its fur, it turned into a hideous monster. And he called, that's Pentecost. As long as you go right along with, let them have their feelings and everything, as long as you just make sure you're preaching in such a way that it's like it, everything's fine. But you try to rake it back the other way, they turn into a monster. And that's what the people out there in the world are like. We don't want to be that way. We don't want to let God pet us whichever way he wants. Right? And so we don't want to be that way. Brother Daniel said we have a responsibility, or we have a right to ask why. When you see the Word of God says something should be in your life and it's not there, you have a right to ask why. And first, ask yourself why. Because many times people already know why. You're doing all you know to do, and you have a right to ask God. Well, I was speaking to someone I was working with recently, and I said to that person, have you ever went to God in prayer and said, God, why have you not allowed this to happen in my life? And I said, I mean, I don't mean just ask. I mean, ask until you get an answer, until he tells you why that this has not happened in your life. They said, no, I haven't. I said, you should do that. Ask God until he answers. Because he does want you. If you need bread, bread. He wants you to have bread. He's not going to give you a stone. He's going to give those things that you need. You know, Tamar, Brother Daniel mentioned this right here at the end there. Tamar was willing to bear reproach for the seed. To get that seed, she was willing to put up with even being ridiculed by the world. And I wonder about us as Christians when people make fun of us. We, you know, sister, maybe you don't want to dress the way the scripture says you should because, you know, people might make fun of you. But Tamar was willing to do whatever it took to get that seed that belonged to her because it was promised to her. And so, very good things for her this morning. You know, up at the meetings we were at a couple of weeks ago, one of the brothers there, ministering, said, how many preachers have felt like quitting? Stand up. I don't know how many stood up. There's a bunch, right? All across the building. I stood up. To be honest, right? And if we be honest with ourselves, we all have done that. We've all had to fight that and say, I just give up. You know, and yet, something keeps holding us. You know? How many would feel like, you know, I just want to quit. You just get tired. And that's what it is. You're not wanting to quit. You just get tired and you just want the battle to ease. And sometimes that just translates into feeling like you want to quit. But you know what? Something keeps holding us. Thank God for that. And I will say that you mentioned there about your ministry. Mom and dad and dad's ministry. Just ask yourself, what would a dad's ministry be like? Dad has something he can contribute to you as a child. What would that be? Would it always be just, oh, everything's fine? Or would it be corrective sometimes? Right? Same way with parents, same way with the pastor, with the ministry, with a brother, with a sister. We have an obligation to each other to express what we are to each other. And you have a responsibility to accept and receive from each other that which, that ministry. You know, the scripture says that God put in the church apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers for the perfecting till we come to the full measure of the stature of Christ. And it speaks of how that every member of the body knows how to supply the needs of